The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
1 hour down. That went by fast. 1 hour to go here on First Take. Stephen A. and Christopher Russo go at it whether Aaron Donald deserves to be in the conversation for greatest defensive player in NFL history. And don't miss when Christopher tells Stephen A. which fan base is even more nauseating than the Cowboys. I also don't know the answer to this, so I'm very excited. But first, Jay Will's here, and the Sixers certainly could have used James Harden last night. He's expected to be back after the All-Star break, dealing with that hamstring. Meanwhile, Boston came to town and just had their way with Philly. A 48-point loss, the largest of Doc Rivers' career. The C's getting hot. Three straight wins by 30 points. But it did not come without a cost, losing Marcus Smart to an ankle sprain. Harden, like the player he was traded for, Ben Simmons, was introduced yesterday. Listen up.
This is a time where I needed to be, around guys that I know that want to win and know that are willing to do whatever it takes to win. And the structure here is unbelievable.
And it's more than just wanting to win. Like, everybody wants to win. You hear that every day. It's like what we said to that group. But if you just want to win and you just want to do it the way you've always done it, it's usually harder. If you want to win and figure out what's the best way for this group, because every group's different, then you have a great chance of being successful.
Jay Williams.
Molly.
Is there more pressure on Doc Rivers or James Harden now?
It's Doc Rivers. So, is James Harden one of the top 15 greatest players of all time? No, he's not. Did Doc Rivers get voted one of the top 15 greatest coaches of all time?
Yes.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
So let's go back in history here. With CP3 and Blake Griffin, Lob City, couldn't get it done. Couldn't get past a certain point in the playoffs. Every single year, that's all we talked about. Mm-hmm. Let's fast forward to Kawhi and Paul George. When that situation happened, when they were up 3-1 after they were a second seed in the Western Conference, they lose to the Denver Nuggets. You hear reports coming out of there about there was a lack of requisite leadership in the locker room to mesh personalities together. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, to a degree, in mutual consideration with Steve Ballmer, got him removed from the team, essentially. Okay? He now comes to Philadelphia versus the Atlanta Hawks last year. Game 4. I know that Ben Simmons was a scapegoat. I know people naturally go back to, oh, this guy didn't shoot the ball. They were up 18 points in Game 4. Lost that one on the road. Let me fast forward to Game 5 at home in Philly. They were up 26 points. So to all the people out there that want to say it's Ben Simmons' fault, I'm sitting there saying, why is Ben Simmons in the game? Let's talk about some of your rotations and some of the bench players that you decided to use instead of some of your other players in some critical moments of the game. There's a lot of questions around that. So with all those things being said, I know what James Harden is to a degree. If he never wins a championship, he's still going to be one of the most innovative offensive players the game has ever seen. Mm-hmm. He may not be a champion. You may remember him as a guy that left teams and wasn't crutch. Hall of Famer. But I can tell you this. If they don't get a chance to win it this year, or if they don't get to the NBA Finals, I'm not sure Doc Rivers will be the coach next year. Mm-hmm. You've got a guy like Mike D'Antoni who's looming around that people are also saying, well, here's going to be the best person to activate James Harden, who will be here for another 3 or 4 years mm-hmm. after we sign him to a pretty max deal.
Okay. First off, Doc should not be on a top 15 coaches list. How is John Kundla, who coached the Lakers in the 50s, who was on a team in the 50 years, won 4 titles? How is he not on the list? I know it's 1953 George Mikan, but Auerbach's on the list. How is he not on the list? And they got Doc Rivers on the list. He's won 1 championship, and he's lost 3 series when he had 3 games to 1 lead. Mm. So how Doc's on the list and not come? I make no sense.
I am not about to argue with you about a coach from 1950.
Yes, no, coach from Lakers.
I'm not doing it.
That's
not doing it.
No. Still, he was on the top 50.
We're giving him his flowers. I'm with you.
Okay, very good.
You got it.
I think the pressure.
I appreciate the history.
I wanted to throw that out there. I was dying to say it for a long time.
Get it off your chest. Now let's get to 2022.
Doc Rivers. does not have as much pressure as Harden.
Right.
Harden's left two franchises. Harden's got this reputation as one of the great players in the history of the NBA, leading scorer. I mean, I love Van Gundy. He's gotten better than Jerry West. He's not better than Jerry West. All right, Harden has been we've gone through it already today. He's been very spotty in many big game scenarios. He's not going to Philadelphia. All right, taking over for a player who wasn't there this last 3 months, who did not play well in a big spot. They got Embiid. Philadelphia, you got a conference that's a little spotty right now. Milwaukee's a little vulnerable, even in the postseason. You know, obviously the Nets, who knows what's going on with Durant, and who knows what's going on with Irving at the end of the day with the vaccinations. They have to get to a final. And that's not going to be on Doc Rivers. This is his second year. They have to get to a final. And Harden's the guy who's orchestrated himself out of Houston, orchestrated himself out of the Nets. Harden, who everybody wants to put him on this level. He's got a great center now. Go out there and win 3 playoff rounds in the Eastern Conference and get to a final. Much more pressure on Harden. Much more.
Let me chime in here. And before I answer this particular question, I want to veer left for something. I need an ISO shot with me on the camera right now, please. Let me say this because I'm getting text messages from people in Ben Simmons' camp, okay, including family members. Mm. Let me be very, very clear. Mm. I'm a fair-minded brother. First Take is right here. It's live. It's unedited. It ain't even a 7-second delay. Anytime y'all want this seat, you are welcome to come here and explain for yourself. I'm not going to go back and forth with everybody about what it is about Ben Simmons or whatever. I'm not taking any definitive position. I'm happy to see the brother back and think I'm fantasizing about him playing because I think the Nets won the deal. And I think Ben Simmons is a guy, he can guard Giannis. He can guard James Harden. He guarded Trae Young. He can guard Jimmy Butler or Tyler Hero or whatever. Ben Simmons is legit, and I'm happy to see him back on the court. But in terms of debates about what he legitimately went through, the seat is right there. Y'all are welcome anytime. If y'all ain't willing to show up in the seat, there's going to come a point in time where I'm going to tell you to shut the hell up and stand down. Because you don't get to hide for 6 months. And I'm talking about Ben Simmons, I'm talking about his camp. You don't get to hide for 6 months. And then all of a sudden, now that everything is percolating, you want to dictate the narrative. Hell no, it ain't happening. Now, let me get back to James Harden and Doc Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree with you about Doc Rivers on this. First of all, I do think Doc Rivers belonged on that list. That's number one. Secondly, and more importantly, all your points are valid. I'm not dismissing any point that you made. Mm-hmm. Not one of them. Especially since nobody's lost more 3-1 leads. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember you mentioning that. Nobody's lost more 3-1 leads in the playoffs than Doc Rivers. We get that. Having said all of that, ain't nobody think about no Doc Rivers. This is about James Harden. You got to win. You got to win the East, okay?
Mm-hmm. Because I agree with you on that.
Because here's the deal. When we look at James Harden, this is a guy that once averaged 36 a game. This is a guy that was averaging 30 a night in his sleep for years under the same president of basketball operations, which is why, and then not only that, let me tell you something right now. There's more pressure on Daryl Morey than it is on Doc Rivers. You traded the farm. Now, why do I say that? I know Seth Curry is a role player. All right, even though I think he's better than that, by the way, Jake.
I agree.
I like what I'm seeing from him.
Yeah.
Andre Drummond, we keep forgetting. He ain't averaging 8 rebounds a game. But do you understand that if you put Andre Drummond on the court for 35, 40 minutes, he's good for 20 rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
He's good for 5 offensive rebounds a game. This, we're talking about KD and Kyrie having second chance shots. But more importantly than that, Jay, Mad Dog, the Brooklyn Nets got every need fulfilled. These people that's walking around here, Steven, this dog and Daryl Morey, you don't know what the hell you talk about. And if Daryl Morey takes it that way, you should be ashamed of yourself. Because I love Daryl Morey. And I think he's an exceptional executive, even though there's been some questionable moves over the years. When you have his resume, you ought to be profoundly respected.
Agreed.
I love Daryl Morey. I know him. I just disagreed with all he gave up for this deal. And let me explain why. I understand at this deadline, you had to do that. What I'm saying is he walked into the Philly job essentially saying, I'm going to get you James Harden. And he was so transparent that Sean Marks got to sit back and say, well, what you going to offer? And wait and wait and wait and milk and milk and milk. That's what I'm holding up against Daryl Morey. Because what you ended up doing is Brooklyn needed an elite defender. They got it. They needed another playmaker. They got it. They needed another shooter in case Joe Harris don't come back. They got it. They needed a rebounder and some girth on their front line. They got it. To join KD and Kyrie. So when y'all look at Harden, we gave all of that up for you after the way you departed Houston. Now that you departed Brooklyn and you going to show up in Philly with Joel Embiid And you going to go home early? Oh, hell no. No. Nobody. I'm not saying that Doc Rivers don't have some pressure. I'm saying nobody at this moment in time, and you know how tight I am with Philly in terms of the city I worked in for 17 years.
Yes.
Nobody is talking about Doc Rivers. Everyone's talking about James Harden.
Well, wait a
Everybody.
All right, so you define pressure by what everybody's talking about.
Where does the pressure come from?
I can explain.
Okay.
I define pressure by who can lose their damn job. You're talking about a top 15 greatest coach of all time being potentially fired after 1 year with Joel Embiid and James Harden? If they can't get it done, how much is James Harden going to end up signing for?
Hold on.
$250 plus million? Stop, Stephen A. Daryl Morey picked this dude up after fixed base aircraft.
Let me tell you this. If Harden don't show up and he still is in line to get $200 million, Daryl Morey better go live back in Houston.
Okay.
He can't walk the streets of Philadelphia if he does that.
Daryl Morey's going to be there for a while, y'all. Okay? Daryl Morey ain't going
now.
Regardless of whether it was yesterday or now, he's going to be there for a while.
We agree.
James Harden's going to be there for more than 1 year.
Yeah, I agree.
Even if he doesn't play to the level that we know he can play.
Just saying.
He's going to get the bag.
He's going to get the bag. You know why I think he's going to get the bag? Because I think Harden's going to show out.
Okay.
I believe in Harden. But he got to show out.
If there's a hiccup and they don't get to the Eastern Conference Finals or they don't get to the NBA Finals and it's not meshing with Joel Embiid or James Harden, that's going to come back on Doc Rivers at the end of the day. That's more pressure for me.
Because
he could lose his job when it's all said and done with the
year. Get another one. It doesn't matter. He made enough money.
That's pressure, though.
I'm just saying, Harden's under some pressure, bro.
Oh, I agree with you.
Everybody watching Harden.
He has a bad game seven.
Oh, I agree.
The Bucks, and he throws up those threes at a 2-for-13 clip in that city, he's in big trouble.
Yeah. Two isolation players who don't really pick and roll. Yeah. How do they work? That's the question. Doc Rivers is the only one that can answer that, Molly.
Good stuff, guys.
Thank you.
No, seriously. That's a tough one. Both of them.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Aaron Donald, now a Super Bowl champion, a defensive lineman who many say is not only the best player at his position, but best overall active player in the NFL. At times Sunday, it seemed like he willed his team to victory, like making that one-arm stop to keep the Bengals from a first down, or taking Burrow down, forcing the incompletion and sealing the victory for the Rams. The man just makes plays. Stephen A., you had a bold take on just where Aaron Donald may stand all time.
Aaron Donald is something special.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have elevated to a point where the only name that you could possibly put above Aaron Donald is Lawrence Taylor. And even that is debatable.
Chris Russo?
Yeah, that's a little strong.
What?
That's a little strong.
Why?
Oh, come on, Steven.
Why?
You're better than that. That's a little strong.
Oh, go ahead. I'm listening.
Bob Lilley.
I'm listening.
Let's start with the defensive lineman.
God, Bob Lilley.
Bob Lilley. Randy White.
Randy
White.
For the Dallas Cowboys.
He was an MVP of the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Mean Joe Green. And remember, in those days, they played every play. There was not a rotation system where Aaron Donald gets a couple of plays off to regroup.
Yeah.
I mean, Mean Joe Green were 40 players in the NFL, 40 players per team. Mm-hmm. He's out there every single play. Randy White, every single play. Bob Lilley, 7 straight time All-Pro, out there every single play. And he's a defensive lineman. We all know Donald's great. We all understand he's one of the great defensive linemen in the history of the NFL. But, boy, to put him up there with LT and even Ray Lewis to a certain degree, but to put him up there with LT, Lawrence Taylor, who changed the way offenses dictated how they were going to run their stuff.
Okay.
Washington did three tight ends on that side. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, they could block them in the two games. Mm-hmm. Offense left tackles cheated to get the extra step. So, when LT rushed the quarterback, they sort of went diagonal at him, so they had the extra step to be able to block him.
Okay.
There is not a better defensive player in the history of the league than LT. Mm-hmm. And to put Donald in that category is not fair. And I can make the argument that there are some defensive linemen who are at least in the same conversation for whatever the reason about rotation. I mean, Aaron Donald doesn't play every play. Mm-hmm. He's out. He's out every fourth. He's out a little bit. He gets a little blow. Joe Mean.
A little blow over here and there, but that's about it.
Joe Mean, you got no gloves at every play.
Okay.
Mean Joe Green.
Are you finished?
So did Bob Lilly.
Are you finished?
Every single play. Game after game after game. Not the case for Aaron Donald.
Okay.
You may continue.
Okay. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that, doggy. First of all, you got me on Bob Lilly. I have no answer for Bob Lilly, okay? I don't know anything about Bob Lilly, right? I mean, I've seen the gray and white footage, okay? I don't know about Bob Lilly. You got me there. Randy White was big time, an MVP in the Super Bowl, but at the same time, excuse me, when I think about the Dallas Cowboys, I think about Ed Too Tall Jones and cats like that. You want to bring up my Steelers? Excuse me, mind your manners, sir. It ain't just about Mean Joe Green. It's about LC Greenwood as well. Let's not forget a cat like that. Let's not forget the linebackers, both Jack Ham and Jack Lambert. Let's not forget the secondary, Mel Blunt. Don't talk to me about the Steelers. I've seen them all. And by the way, I was born and raised in New York City. Born in the Bronx, raised in Queens. My sister Linda, a diehard Giants fan like Molly Q. Okay? This is what we did. We watched Lawrence Taylor. That was religion in our household. 142 career sacks in his career in 12 seasons, or so, 81 to 93. By the way, had a season where he had 20 and a half sacks one season. What did Aaron Donald do in his first 8 years? He had a season where he had 20 and a half sacks. He's a defensive player of the year three times. And by the way, let's also remember this. Times were easier back then for defensive players. The rules have compromised defensive players in today's NFL. You can get penalized for passing gas. I mean, they'll give you a penalty for everything. They won't let you play. That's what Aaron Donald has to work against. He's consistently doubled and triple teamed, and we look at the modern day athlete, and universally they will tell you how great he is. And last but not least, I never once said he was better than Lawrence Taylor. I would never be so blasphemous as to say a defensive player is better than Lawrence Taylor. I said, ask Bill Belichick, because Bill Belichick doesn't even want anybody bringing up any
comparisons
to Lawrence Taylor. He doesn't think they deserve it. You don't have any idea how Herculean he is. That's what Bill Belichick has said. All I've said is, outside of Lawrence Taylor, we got to look at this. And if we're going to have a discussion, the way people talk about Aaron Donald is similar to some of the things that were said about Lawrence Taylor. So I leave it to the professionals like the Bill Belichicks of the world to make sure to draw that distinction. But if we're looking at the modern era and what this brother brings to the table and the man child that he is amongst boys.
He's always arguing,
talking about one of the greatest. Is he one of the greatest ever?
He's top 10, top 12.
Top 10, top 12.
Yeah, I gave you five defensive linemen.
Excuse me.
And the Bengal offensive line was so bad, I couldn't rush the quarterback on Sunday afternoon.
Listen, Aaron Donald didn't need the Cincinnati Bengals to validate his greatness.
I understand but the Super Bowl validated his greatness.
He's been doing it against everybody all year long, or throughout his career.
I hate to knock him. He's a great player, but you got him on this incredible level that he doesn't deserve to be at.
How do you know that? Look at him. Listen. You got
Mean Joe Green? Are you kidding me?
Excuse me. Mean Joe Green was the man. I'm a Steeler lover. I get all of that. But Aaron Donald is a man amongst boys. He's something to behold. And, you know, listen, you got a lot of great dudes back in the day with Mean Joe Green, LC Green, with Ed Too Tall Jones and others. I get all of that. All I'm saying is Aaron Donald is in that conversation with everybody. You can't say
you said the other day he's the best defensive player of all time. He's in the conversation. Which one is it?
No. Lawrence Taylor. I still got to stand down to that one. Outside of that.
Ray Lewis?
Tell me something.
Is he in the same conversation as Lawrence
Taylor? No, absolutely not.
He's not. Okay.
No way.
Fine. I'm not going to argue with you about that. But anybody else, how can we definitively dismiss him? Well, now, you said defensive lineman. You could bring in primetime Deion Sanders as a corner. You know, you could bring in Ray Lewis as a linebacker.
I can't.
You could bring in. You'd like to go back to the days of Mike Ditka and all of those guys, even though I'd say Mike Singletary. I mean, I bring that up.
I was actually thinking about Dick Butkus, Shane Lane, but I didn't bring that one in.
Butkus, I know those names, too. I watched the game.
I was thinking about Dick.
There you go.
Did you know in the 70s Super Bowl when Dallas played Baltimore, do you know that the Colts offensive lineman took himself out of the game because they couldn't block Bob Lilly?
It's impressive.
I took him out. Oh, he said, I can't block him. Get me out of here.
May I ask a question?
History lesson, take two.
May I ask a question?
Back in class?
Was the level of competition back then what it is now?
Hold on now. You just saw the Bengals. You and I could play guard on that offensive line. It's the worst offensive line I've ever seen in a Super Bowl. 7-9 sacks in Tennessee. 6 sacks the other day in the second half. Take it easy about the Cincinnati offensive line.
Please, I know this trash. The point that
By the way, I have news on Cincinnati when you guys are done.
One Super Bowl afternoon does not define the quality of play or lack thereof of an era. When you look at the sport now, is the level of competition now greater than it was back then when Bob Lilly was playing?
Oh, and Bob by the
year, what year was Bob Lilly playing again?
1962.
Oh my God!
He was great though.
I wasn't born, man, Matt.
Yes, you were. You're not that young.
I was born in 1967.
Oh, okay.
I was born in 1967.
So you were born in the ice ball. Can we end it this way? Can we say that Aaron Donald is top 10 and be happy?
No, I'm not happy with that.
Top 10 all time. You're saying
defensively.
Top 5.
No.
Top 5.
No. Not yet.
Not fine.
Okay.
Not yet.
Okay, right. Mad Dog.
How about the coach who went against him in the Super Bowl? That would be Zach Taylor, just 38 years old. He was rewarded, signing an extension through 2026.
He deserves
Gentlemen,
it.
Do we like this decision? They won the AFC North, obviously.
I didn't like the last three plays, some of the worst plays I've ever seen in my life, when they had the ball at midfield, the bomb and the two running play. I couldn't stand that. But, yes, he deserves a contract extension.
He does.
Good with Burrow. No issues whatsoever.
He does. Listen. I love Marvin Lewis as a person. I think Marvin Lewis deserves another shot as a head coach in the National Football League. But he coached the Cincinnati Bengals for 16 years. Mm-hmm. Went to the playoffs 7 times.
0-7.
And did not win a single playoff mm-hmm. game. The coach that just takes you to the Super Bowl, regardless of their struggles and his overall record in those 3 years.
Right.
Clearly him with Joe Burrow and those boys, and Jamar Chase and those boys have some level of chemistry. What they were able to do, Zach Taylor deserves the extension. I'm happy for him. He deserves it.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Absolutely. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Stephen A., you're not the only one here with multiple shows.
I am not. Listen, you know, today is Mad Dog Russo's first day. He's going to be on with us most Wednesdays. I couldn't be happier to have my buddy here with me. I used to work at Mad Dog Radio with Sirius XM. He was always great to me, and it's beautiful to have him here. He's got his show, Mad Dog, on Mad Dog Sports Radio. 3 to 6 p.m. every weekday on Sirius XM. Mad Dog Radio.
Mad Dog Unleashed.
But he's got high heat, Mr. Baseball himself. Yep. And don't think for 1 second that just because you're on First Take that all of a sudden you're going to get away from some of the baseball.
I wanted to do it today, but I got no
some
chance.
Some of the baseball nonsense.
Actually, there are some baseball stories we could have discussed.
That's right.
Yeah.
My dad, God rest his soul, was a huge, huge baseball fan. You understand? They wouldn't allow me to watch the Mets until I turned 18. I never watched the Mets in my life, and I live 15 minutes away from Chase Stadium.
Wow, really?
Diehard Yankee fan.
Yes,
and I know. I know that you are a Giants fan.
Yeah, Giants.
Don't think you're going to get away with some of the dribble that you spew on high heat on a Major League Baseball network. So I know about that, too. Okay? So you got Mad Dog Radio, and you got high heat on the MLB network. I will be watching, and I will be listening for the sole express purpose of taking you down on Wednesdays when you
should. Are you going to use that against me on
all
the
of
show?
It. all of them.
Mad Doug, Matt, this is what you do. You turn on ESPN 7 tonight, and then you watch Stephen A., and then you can do your homework.
I got to find some stuff on him.
Yeah.
Though he and I are good friends.
Oh, just call me. I got you. I'm your girl.
And he invited me for this little Wednesday soiree, so he gets all the credit for that. All right, go ahead. Enough of that.
Okay. Let's do it. But 90 minutes in, it's been a lot of fun. All right, it's no secret this season Showtime has been no time. LeBron built a super team of his super talented friends over the offseason with a lot of people questioning if it would work. Are they too old? Right now, it seems like it's not working, and Stephen A. is looking forward. And Saturday, an NBA countdown proposed an interesting path, should I call it, for the Lakers?
Yeah, go ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about the Lakers beyond this season. They have to trade Anthony Davis. Hmm. You don't keep Anthony Davis. Here's why. Because his value is his value as a player. But durability is a question mark at age 28. As you get older, those durability questions are going to be more prevalent. So when you think about his stock being as high as it's going to be, isn't that right now? And if you're looking at LeBron James and the fact that you need additional pieces, I got to say, Anthony Davis is the guy that you could get a lot for in return potentially because of his potential.
Christopher Mad Dog Russo, do the Lakers need to move on from Anthony Davis?
Stephen A. is right about one thing. He's always hurt. He's always hurt. And he was hurt with New Orleans a lot, too. So he's always hurt. And you're paying him a fortune. And he's a little older. And you got to wonder about his long-term. I agree with that. Fair. But from a talent perspective, they did win a championship a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
From a talent perspective, you cannot trade him. All right? If he's healthy and raring to go, I could make the argument he's a top five player in the NBA. With Giannis, Durant, I still have to put LeBron there. I can make the argument he's top five when he's healthy and raring to go. Now, again, the last year and a half, last year he got banged up, hurt in the Phoenix series. I understand that. This year he misses 4 weeks. He seems to have these calf issues constantly. All fair. But if you're trying to win a championship, which they are year to year, you cannot trade him. You got to keep your fingers crossed. You have to hope that somehow he's going to be able to get you through 60 regular season games and be raring to go in the postseason, because their goal is not to be the eighth seed and rebuild for the future.
No,
it's Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Their goal is to have a chance to win titles year in and year out. And because of that, you got to keep your fingers crossed, hope he's healthy, and not trade him.
Stephen A., I thought you would have said Westbrook. Trade Westbrook, not him.
Well, you can't give him away. He's owed $47 million for next year. Maybe at some point over the summer or next year, as he's approaching the last year of his deal, you're willing to take on that salary just to get it off your cap at the end of next season. That's the only reason at this point why somebody would want Westbrook for that kind of money. And I'm not trying to throw any shade on Westbrook. I believe in Westbrook. I think he's being misused. And I think that he has to come to the conclusion he just can't shoot perimeter shots on a consistent basis. He can have a good night here or there. He can get a little streaky. But for the most part, Westbrook is not a shooter. He's a baller. He can attack the basket with vigor. If I was him, I get the ball, I attack constantly, or I drive to kick it out. That's the only thing that I do. I don't think about shooting jump shots if I'm Russell Westbrook, okay? Particularly in tight games, because that's just not his forte, and it's been proven time and time and time again. If Westbrook had a jump shot, we'd be talking about him as one of the greatest players we've ever seen
100%.
In our lives, because he has everything else, but the jump shot is not there. To get to Anthony Davis, first of all, I'm not a fool here. We know that the Lakers can't move Anthony Davis unless Anthony Davis agrees to it. He has to agree to being moved. That's the kind of deal he's got with the Lakers. We understand that. Having said all of that, I'm not throwing any shade on him in terms of his talent. I think that Anthony Davis is an all-world talent when healthy. Now, I don't like the fact that he goes up against a Greek Freak and gets completely annihilated, where the Greek Freak drops 44 on him, hitting 17 to 20 shots, and Anthony Davis has barely an answer for it. If there's one person that is supposed to be able to deal with the Greek Freak other than Embiid, it's supposed to be Anthony
Davis. Can I say one
Davis.
Thing real quick? Greek Freak last night, 50 on 21 shots. I know it's against the Pacers, but still.
But
I mean,
I'm just saying, you going up against Anthony Davis, and Doggy will appreciate this, the personal pride, you know.
Fair.
I mean, this is the Greek Freak here. He's coming into the house. You understand?
Play better.
So, I mean, in L.A., at the Staples Center.
Yeah, play better.
You are supposed to step up and answer that call.
Okay, so they deal
you're the great talent
Davis.
That is Anthony Davis.
How's this playing
Here's
out?
My
what do they need to
Here's
get?
Here's my point. You've lost Brandon Ingram.
Mm-hmm.
You've lost Lonzo Ball. You've lost Kyle Kuzma, the Montrezl Harrells of the world and others. You think about the multitude of pieces that the Los Angeles Lakers, and it wasn't all for Anthony Davis. Once it was Anthony Davis, but the year after that, they gave up additional pieces. If you're going to look like this, where you going? We're talking about the Lakers struggling to get to the play-in game. Where you going? So if that is the case,
right,
you have to accept, because Golden State's not going anywhere. Phoenix is not going anywhere. Memphis has arrived.
Good team.
Memphis has arrived. Utah can't be summarily dismissed. And when you look at the Clippers, just two games under 500, just imagine for a second if Kawhi Leonard and Paul George were healthy. So if I'm the Lakers, I see five teams that are better than me. Even if LeBron James and Anthony Davis are playing because of the parts that I have around them.
Yeah, timeout. But is that because of injury and not talent, why they are where they are?
I will say this to you. Anthony Davis and LeBron James being injured, if they weren't injured, I think they wouldn't be in the play-in, but I don't think they'd be better than the four teams I mentioned. Okay. And so because of that, now we have to look at the rest of the team. And even though people say improve the parts around you, improve the parts around you, well, guess what? If you got LeBron James at age 37 under contract and you got Anthony Davis under contract and you got Russell Westbrook there, you got to figure out a way to look at life beyond LeBron James. You already got a chip. You already got a chip, right, and I got to get better parts around him. So the one player with extreme value that somebody would be willing to take a chance on because he's only 28 years old,
he's not wrong.
Anthony Davis.
Hey, he's not wrong. They're not going to do it.
Right.
They're not. But he's not. But Stevie makes some good points there. He's on. And the problem with Westbrook is he needs to be on a team where he commands the ball constantly and he go win his 43 games. He needs to be on a team where he's the big star and he can do what he wants.
I hate to
say it. Go 44 and 38 every year and not win in the postseason. That's what Westbrook needs.
I know you're a legend. This is day one, and you already get to call him Stevie. I mean, I've been here for 6 years. I don't get to call you Stevie.
Molly.
Stevie.
Mad Dog Russo.
I'm always full TV name.
He's been calling me Stevie every year. Years, and he talks to me like I'm straight out of high school.
Well, I just
this
want
makes
you
me
to
laugh.
Know,
it's
you open the door
Stevie
to
it.
So listen, when,
not
you,
a way to
when,
go, Stevie boy.
When you hear Stevie sometimes, I don't want a double standard. You might start
no,
hear that coming
no, no,
out.
No, no. Other people call me, they say Stephen A, they say S.A. And then he calls me Stevie.
Yeah, okay.
Him and my man Gary Howard, yeah. Stevie A.
And Molly Caron.
Stevie A.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Some call it La La Land. I call it Title Town. The glitz, the glamour, and now the confetti and trophies. The last 3 years saw the Lakers, the Dodgers, and now the Rams bring a title to Los Angeles. Unfortunately for the Lakers and Dodgers, they weren't able to have their championship parades due to high COVID numbers. The Rams get to have their parade today. So after the Rams' victory, LeBron James tweeting out a suggestion, and I am here for it. We Dodgers and Rams should all do a joint parade together with a live concert afterwards to end it. City of Champions, congrats once again. And I vote they bring back the halftime show because it was too short for me, and that could be the concert. That is my contribution to this parade party, Stephen A. Must be nice to have all these titles. It's been a while out here in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen A., which recent L.A. title, though, is most significant?
Well, before I answer that question, I think that LeBron's suggestion was a ridiculous idea.
Why?
You had your championship when you had your championship.
Yeah, but
that's
COVID
you have a
spoiled it.
Okay, well, then say that COVID spoiled it, so I understand that. But the way the Lakers are looking right now, could you imagine how embarrassing it would look to have a parade right now? I mean, what the hell are you
talking
about? You can't do that. You can't do that. I mean, it matters when you win. When you win, it matters. That's when you get celebrated. You get celebrated for winning.
Okay, fun police.
Okay, that's number one. Number two, title, which is most significant, the Lakers. 17 championships? You under the most storied franchise in the history of basketball annals? Are you crazy? The Lakers? I mean, let me make sure I make you happy. How about Mikan?
All right. How about Jerry West?
My buddy.
How about those at Wilt?
The logo, baby.
How about the logo, okay? Jerry West. How about Wilt Chamberlain and those boys? How about Goodrich, all right? Gail Goodrich. How about Kareem?
Magic.
Magic. Worthy, okay?
Riley. Pippen,
Scott,
Riley.
Norm
Riley.
Nixon. Pat Riley.
Yes.
Kobe. Are you kidding me? I mean, I don't want to hear anything about anybody else in L.A. The Dodgers won this World Series in 1988, and it took them another 32 years to be relevant. Again, the Lakers are relevant every decade. Every decade. They won in the 60s. They won in the 70s. They won in the 80s. Okay. The 90s, they had a little hiccup. And then at the turn of the century, 99, 2000, Kobe and Shaq delivered the goods. And then Shaq left. And then Kobe delivered the goods. God rest his soul. The Lakers, okay, are L.A. The Dodgers, they squeeze them in there, okay. They deserve some props. USC football, they deserve some props when they was winning national championships and had Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart and those guys. But don't give me anybody other than the Lakers. I don't want to hear it.
Way out of line. You're right about the Rams. The Rams are not a major factor in Los Angeles.
Right.
We saw the Niner fans invade the place twice at the end of the year. I don't want to hear about the Rams. That's a nice championship, but the Rams are not a big deal in Southern California. But to disregard the Dodgers is ridiculous.
First off, they got there
before the Lakers got there. I mean, Koufax, they won 6 championships the last 7 or 8 years.
Hey, they integrated baseball.
They put 3.5 million people in the ballpark every year.
Right.
Vin Scully, I mean, how in the world could you sit there and put the Lakers on this class and a Dodgers?
Hey, listen,
that's ridiculous.
I love Vin Scully, but I love Chick Hearn, too.
He's good. Two of them.
He's got a statue.
You got
He's
the
got
Lakers.
A statue outside.
You got the Lakers there to get the baseball team down there. That's not fair.
Excuse me. I understand that Jackie Robinson, I understand they were in Brooklyn at the time, but it's still a Dodgers franchise. I'm just telling you right now, I'll give them credit for that. The Dodgers is an organization. But what I'm saying is I'm not disrespecting them. I'm not dismissing them. You couldn't find a bigger Tommy Lasorda fan than me, okay? I love the home run by Kirk Gibson when he's sitting there limping around the bases. I know it. I watch my baseball, Dougie. But in the end, it's still not basketball. It's not Laker Nation.
It's not the purple and gold.
It's not Irvin Magic Johnson.
I agree. The Lakers, we get the idea. The Lakers are great. I got that.
Okay.
But the Dodgers, my goodness, what are you going to disregard the L.A. Dodgers?
Compared to the
Lakers. They're the second best franchise in the sport. No. They're right there with them.
They're right there at number two.
No, they're not. They're 1-1A.
No.
Oh, you're crazy.
No.
Number two. You don't know.
No. Play.
The Dodgers are on. The Rams are way down.
And by the way, it's also baseball's fault. Because guess what? Baseball hasn't ingratiated itself with the younger audience well enough for them to be appreciated as much as you think they should. It's their fault, too.
The Lakers don't
have that problem.
But how about the minority relationship with the Dodgers with Fernando Valenzuela and all the fans who went to the games for that? Dodgers Stadium, Chavez Ravine.
That's nice. I love Chavez Ravine.
I propose an idea that's maybe even better than LeBron James.
What?
Let's get your friend Magic Johnson on. We are going to replay this tape and have him answer this question.
Hold on.
He has a vested interest.
Hey, he's got a lot of money in the Dodgers.
And Lakers legend.
I feel you on that. But here's the only problem.
What?
Magic Johnson is a little scared these days.
Why?
He's scared to show up against me because he's made some NBA prognostications and all that stuff. Magic Johnson, I mean, I think he might show up in March. NBA countdown and first take.
Hold
but
on.
I'm not sure.
Hold
I think
on.
Magic Johnson's scared.
Hold
and he
on.
Should be
Hold
scared.
On.
Magic
Hold
Johnson
on.
Is scared. That's right, I said it.
Irvin Magic Johnson.
That's right.
The legend.
Irvin, is it scared to you? I think right now, Magic Johnson is a little scared.
I thought there were levels to this. I mean, I know at ESPN, but I thought there were levels.
We ain't talking about stuff on the court. We ain't talking certainly about basketball knowledge. He's a savant. He's Irvin Magic Johnson. I'm just saying the last week since the trade between Brooklyn and Philadelphia, he's had some suspect takes.
I called him on it, and
Magic is like,
what suspect takes?
What did he say?
He's talking about Philly won the deal, and, Philadelphia.
But he's entitled to an opinion. He's not entitled to be wrong.
He won five titles, college championships.
My goodness.
And he's got Wilbon in on it, too, and Wilbon's wrong. That's why he runs the PTI, you understand what I'm saying? And then
Wilbon is on TV with with you tonight. What are you talking about?
And he's been running scared a little bit, too. Oh, he got
he
a little bold the other day.
He sits next to you on set multiple times a week.
He got a little bit bold the other day before it caught me off guard.
With
but
what?
Then I had to step up on him.
Oh, whatever.
You understand? I'm just saying, but all I'm saying to you is this.
I heard a different story from Michael
Magic,
Wilbon.
And Magic Johnson is a little scared right now. That Magic Johnson's a little
scared. Let me teach you something. It's a beautiful mind.
I'm just telling you.
Yeah, it's a beautiful mind. He sees
he's
things
prideful.
A little differently than the rest
he's
of the world.
Prideful.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
I'm prideful.
But to put the Dodgers way below the Lakers is not fair.
Yeah.
That's wrong.
You know, it's not
Southern
wrong.
California.
It's
yes,
absolutely
it is wrong.
You know what they say? Pride goeth before the fall.
Oh, please.
This morning.
They got one title in 40 years. Two titles in 40 years.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Stephen A's laugh was heard around the world. I was just letting it breathe, guys, so you could hear it again. Dallas fans did not take the loss well. Lots of tears were shed. Things were thrown. I can relate. I'm a real fan as well. Yankees fans have also had a rough go, not winning the World Series since 2009. Plus, they got eliminated by their rival, the Red Sox, in the wild card this past season. And we know they got all the cashish. Christopher Russo, which fan base is more annoying?
I think it's close. And, you know, so I could see somebody arguing the Cowboys, but I'll pick the Yankees because I've had to deal with them for such a long period of time here in New York. The Yankee fan base is very arrogant, and they have a right to be. They've won 27 World Championships. Mm-hmm. But they think that they are better than you are.
Yeah.
We're the Yankees, and you're not.
Yeah.
And so as a result
Isn't
of that...
Isn't there a little truth to that?
You know, you could argue that day is a perfect example. So as a result of that, I will be more... And plus, the Yankees get the Mets, so they like to step on the stepchild of the
course.
Mets. Dallas doesn't have a team in Dallas. There's two baseball teams here in New York. So I would say the Yankees, overall, their fan base is a little more arrogant. And I understand they've won the titles, but they're more arrogant and annoying than a Cowboy fan.
You say arrogant. I say factual. You see, I'm disappointed that the New York Yankees haven't won a World Series since 2009. But I'm not arrogant when people are heckling me like they used to do when I was at the Philadelphia Inquirer or, you know, when they tried to do with me here. And I'd be like, stop. We don't talk about baseball until September going into October because we know we ain't going to be there. We going to be relevant. Now, that doesn't mean we going to win the World Series, but we going to be relevant. You see what I'm saying? The Dallas Cowboys haven't won a Super Bowl since 1995. The Dallas Cowboys haven't been to a Super Bowl since 1995. The Dallas Cowboys haven't been to an NFC Championship game since 1995. That would be 27 years. And I just like to end the show by saying, first, great job today. Great job. And secondly, I'd like to part from this show today. Could y'all please show me these Cowboy fans?
Oh, my goodness.
Boy, he's up with this.
Oh, this is nauseating. How much do I have to see this same old video?
I mean,
oh, my goodness.
This is some beautiful stuff right here. These Cowboy fans, look at them. The misery.
He likes that one. That was a rough loss.
I'm not laughing.
This is the beautiful stuff. It's nauseating.
Wow, look
it's
at that earring.
Evidence. They can go 1-15, doggy. 1-15. Season could end at 7 p.m. on a January. 15 minutes later, you know we're going to win the Super Bowl next year, right? This is what the Cowboys do.
There is some truth to that. It's close.
They get what they deserve. Yankees fans, we are entitled. Because we're the Yankees. Remember that. Yankees. Yankees.